Welcome to the Bears Draft Profile Series. Today, we are going to be taking a look at Marvin Harrison Jr. Is it possible that the Bears could get Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr.? I don't know, but let's take a look at the prospect. Sammy, let's go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Another great episode on the way here for you. By the way, I want to remind everybody that this has been a series that we've been doing, the Bears Draft Profile Series. If this is the first one that you've caught, well, you're in luck. You can go back and watch some of our previous episodes on this channel. Make sure you've liked and subscribed so you haven't missed any future episodes. And of course, we're going to be joined here today by the host of the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel. He is a draft analyst and consultant. I call him Draft, but you know him as John Vogel. John, how you living?
Great, man. Getting closer to the draft, that just makes it better. This is Christmas for me, man.
So much, yeah. I think that by now, if you've been watching this series, it's kind of like back in the day when Raw used to film like four, or when the WWF at that point used to film like four Raws in a row. I remember seeing a show at the Orange Fairgrounds in San Bernardino, California. You're like, I'm not going to see this show for a month on TV. So yeah, I think you understand that we filmed this all at one time. We've been releasing them over the, you know, a couple of days, you know, giving a little breath and dropping these episodes on you. And it's interesting because our second episode was on Rome Odunze, who you said was your number two guy, and we didn't spoil it. We're like, okay, yeah, I can't wait to find out who number one is. And then a couple of days ago, we dropped the Malik Nabers episode, and Malik Nabers is your number one guy. And listen, I'm not a smart person by any stretch of the imagination, but I can do the math here, which means that Marvin Harrison Jr. is your third guy. Why do you hate Marvin Harrison Jr.?
you know what's funny is back in 2020,
is he your third guy? Know, can I ask that?
Just want to make sure
you're like, no, actually he's sixth. And by the way, for everybody, I'm sure, because they're gonna do it anyways. You don't hate, I know that I made the joke, but it's like you can like other players and still think Marvin Harrison Jr. is still gonna be a great NFL player. Like Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase are all great receivers. Similar vein here. You can have three guys who are very good, but at some point you can only draft one, and you rank them how you rank them on your draft board. But what is it about Marvin Harrison Jr.? What are the pros? What are the cons?
No, the first thing about him, I think that is he is going to be a really great football player. I think. We don't have any testing numbers on him or anything to really compare him measurably. You know, so if you look at the height, weight, arm length, hands, all that different stuff, he best compares to Devontae Parker, who was just, you know, obviously signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. So
I don't think that people want to be using the number 9 overall pick in the draft on Devontae Parker, though. That seems...
I think he's going to be a lot better than Devontae. Just from a size standpoint, you know... in the way that his body is built, he's very much like Devontae Parker. The first thing I think is, you know, that why I had other guys ranked ahead of him is because there were some inconsistencies, especially when they played some top tier opponents, where he started to kind of disappear. And even a game that he probably shouldn't have disappeared in against Indiana. That was the opening game of the past year. New quarterback. Maybe that had something to do with it as well, but he just sometimes, for being a big, you know, bodied receiver, Marvin seems to lack some physicality at the catch point and willingness at times. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's why I don't consider him as a number one. I think you want to have him as a really good number two, as long as you've got somebody that can take some of that attention away and let him just do what he does. But that was the first thing that kind of stood out to me is, you know, you're sitting there watching him sometimes through contact. He'll make a great catch when he wants to. It's just sometimes he just doesn't contest. He doesn't try. And that was a little bit strange, especially in the game. Obviously, Ohio State versus Michigan. For people that aren't familiar with that term, the game. In the game, he had this one rep against Mike Sainristil, who very, very small defensive back compared to Marvin, where, you know, it wasn't a great throw, and he just kind of let it go, and he could have contested it, and Mike jumped right up in there and picked it off, and Marvin was still standing there while he's running it back for a touchdown. You know, and you kind of saw that same type of attitude against Notre Dame, that Indiana game I mentioned, and it was inconsistent game to game on how much he wanted to put into it. I think if Marvin wants to put everything he's got into a game, which we've seen against Purdue, which we've seen in a bunch of instances throughout his career, he can absolutely dominate. I just don't see it consistently. And I think the lack of physicality is something that is a little bit concerning.
You've talked about this during this series, and I know you talk about this a lot on your shows, that the X, Y, and Z receivers have gone away and we're looking at ones and twos. As wild as it would sound, because I think that everybody's just assumed that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one receiver coming into this draft. There are a lot of people who are like, just take Marvin Harrison Jr. number one overall and keep Justin Fields. And there were people in that camp. But would Marvin Harrison Jr., again, we use this when we were talking about Malik Nabers, where, hey, he could go to the Chargers and be a number one, or go to the Bears and be the three guy. And when you look at Marvin Harrison's career at Ohio State, I think that he's shown that when you put a lot of talent around him, he could be a really exceptional player. Is Chicago a place where he would absolutely flourish playing with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And I think you would kind of swap him in between the slot and with Keenan on the outside.
Okay.
I think you might even primarily move Keenan to the slot. Interesting. And just let him run his little possession routes if you were going to bring, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. in. And it's just because where Marvin gets good as a route runner is, first off, those vertical routes. You know, we've seen him pull away, especially when as a deep threat. He's not an absolute burner, don't get me wrong, but he can pull away and he knows how to separate on some of those more vertical type concepts, posts, corners, things like that. I think he's also really good in the intermediate range over the middle of the field, running those digs, those crossers, different things like that. He's done that really well. And you see him win a lot of these comeback type routes. So for people that aren't as familiar, you got, you know, routes that break back toward the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we say a curl, we're talking about an in-breaking route. You turn to the inside of the field, flash your hands. Hopefully the ball's just about there. When we talk about a comeback, that's something that's more toward the sideline, right? So it's an out-breaking route, but you're working toward the sideline, still coming back to the quarterback. He's very exceptional in that comeback route. And that's because when he gets to the top of his break, he's so low, he doesn't look like he's 6'3". You know, so Marvin has a lot of really good things that he can do, and that would be exceptional on the boundary as opposed to the slot. And, you know, so for those reasons, I think you would probably move Keenan inside, let Keenan be that possession receiver underneath from the slot, and give Marvin the space on the boundary to kind of work.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. I, again, this seems like an unreal possibility, but at the same time, you know, going through the draft boards, there's a possibility that one of these guys falls. Now, you have Malik Nabers at number one. You have Roma Dunze at number two and Marvin Harrison Jr. at number three. And for anybody watching the show right now, give us your top three. Let us know what you think. Which one of these three guys is your number one? Go ahead and rank them in the comments right there. We'll go through and check them out a little bit later. But my thing is it just seems unfathomable that Marvin Harrison Jr. could fall in the draft. But what you're hearing around the league as you start doing your analysis and going through that, is there a possibility he tumbles a little bit?
Yeah, there is. We talked about in the media how the consensus number one for the most part this year at wide receiver has been Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
You talk to people in the league, and I know you talk to some people, Adam, and it's not that at all.
Not as cut and dry as the fans make you think.
No, people, you know, some teams some teams are going to want a number one right now. And I think a lot of people don't really see Marvin Harrison Jr. as that one. They see a Romo Odunze as a one, maybe an A.D. Mitchell as that one. You know, that's that type of receiver. Malik Nabers is another, you know, guy that a lot of NFL teams really, really like. Xavier Worthy's been coming on since he ran that 4-2-1.
What about Brian Thomas Jr.?
That's another one. Just about to get to him, too. Brian Thomas Jr. is in that one camp, right, where he's probably a one receiver. And he ran a blazing 40 as well, you know, especially for a guy that's as tall, 6'3", almost 6'4", like he is.
Big dude running really fast.
4-3-3. Yeah, just absolute blazer. So, you know, I think there is a chance, because let's say Arizona, we've been assuming that they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, let's say maybe they like Odunze better. Maybe they think Odunze is going to be a better fit for Kyler, that he can work back to the quarterback better than Marvin can, or whatever that is. So that's what I kind of see, is it could go any route just based on who does Arizona like? I don't know personally. They might like another one of these guys.
And they might even trade out. You know, there's a lot of smoke about the Minnesota Vikings moving up to number four to take a quarterback in that spot too. So there's a wealth of possibilities out there.
Absolutely.
And then I'm trying to think too, if Jim Harbaugh, and I'm sure Sammy could look this up while we're gabbing here. And I know this one's going a little bit longer, but I think it's important to kind of weigh in on this. Did Jim Harbaugh play with did it intersect with Marvin Harrison Jr. or Marvin Harrison Sr., I should say. Somebody look that up. But in any event, I'm wondering.
I didn't even think about that.
Because Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison was already with the Colts and had played a couple of years when Peyton Manning got there in 98. And Harbaugh was there in 95, at least, maybe 96. Harbaugh played for, it seemed like, everybody. But in any event, I really feel like there's a possibility that he could start to tumble. And I look back at the draft. Everybody remembers, or people don't remember, there was a draft with CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Both of those guys were like fan favorites that the fans loved. But Henry Ruggs went above Justin Jefferson. Was CeeDee Lamb in the same draft? I don't recall, but like, I remember Henry Ruggs being we had all these great receivers in a draft, and it comes down to Henry Ruggs was the first one at number 11 or 12 for the Las Vegas Raiders. And then the Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson Jr. or Justin Jefferson. I should say so many juniors, but in any other, by the way, Sammy did point this out. Jim Harbaugh did play 2 years with Marvin Harrison. Thank you so much, Sammy. Appreciate you looking that up. That's an interesting thing. I haven't heard that. I've been thinking about. I don't know. I mean, you've been studying this more than I do. I'm going to be having my
That's interesting, because Marvin Harrison Jr. does not have an agent.
Yes,
he's one of the few players in this class that doesn't have one. Caleb being the other notable one.
Yeah.
He's being advised very heavily by his dad right now.
Interesting. So what did we just uncover here?
You just brought up. Yeah. No, you maybe got me thinking.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's one way to look at that. I will save that until. So when we are promoting this show, we'll be like, hey, Jim Harbaugh played with his father. You know what? That's the funniest thing, because like nobody knows NFL history or pays attention to it. So that kind of stuff, like, they will not realize that they were once teammates, even at the NFL Network. I haven't heard anybody bring that up. So again, I'll keep that under my hat until the show comes out, so we can be the ones to be like, yes, this is what we said.
Change the betting odds.
And then people will bring it up and be like, oh yeah, they said this on the Sick Podcast. So this might be the second one that you've seen so far. Forget everything I said about Roma Dune. No. But it is interesting to me, because I think that there is a real possibility, and especially how much does him not doing the workouts also negatively affect him? Because, you know, the NFL is all about their institutions, and when everybody wants to come in there, and if I swear to you, if somebody comes in there and makes the combine obsolete, there are going to be a lot of angry people who've been making money off the combine for years, especially as the NFL gets set to start auctioning that out to cities to bid on. and they're like, yeah, don't do this thing. And it might just be a thing where you don't get the headliners there. And all the lower level guys are going to want to go, the Brian Thomas Juniors trying to make their mark in the league. But how much of that do you think that negatively affects him in the draft?
I don't think so. So first off, it's an interesting experiment for future prospects, you know, because that's kind of what some of this has been, like Caleb not opting out of doing medicals, right? Like nobody's ever done that before. That's an experiment, you know. This is another one of those experiments where it's like, we're not working out. And the explanation that's been given has been, well, we're focused on football. We don't want to take any time away from our training to work on training for drills or training for these different things that, you know, prospects spend months prepping for. So it's a fair point if true, but I think I think the real reason they're doing this is because they're being told that, hey, we're going to take you very high.
You're good.
And you really don't need to do anything. Yeah.
The Chargers are telling them, don't worry about it. Jim's got you. Uncle Jim's got you. Well, listen, depending on when you saw this one, when this came out, it just want to let you know, there have been other episodes of the Bears draft. How do I this? Hold on. The Bears draft profile series. I've screwed this up. If it's not, listen, I was defending somebody the other day on the internet, being like, no, like these talking heads are not just some empty headed nimrods who can't speak without a prompter. And I can't remember the name of the Bears draft profile series for the life of me. And this should be episode number 7 at the very least. But in any event, we will have at least one more episode, depending on when we drop this. We will have at least one more episode. But want to thank everybody here today. Again, drop us your top 3. I know we didn't have an opportunity to go in, but I will go into the comment section and look at them and give you a like or a dislike. Give us your top 3. Draft Vogel, thank you so much for being here. Be sure to like and subscribe this podcast. Go seek out the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel. Follow him on Twitter at Draft Vogel. And until the next one, Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.